back at you. Here I am, Jeff Mann from FantasyGuru.com, EliteFantasy.com, EliteSportsBetting.com, at Jeff underscore Mann on Twitter, the Jeff Mann, all of one word, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, get there, folks. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive, also from FantasyGuru.com, Elite Sports Betting, Elite Fantasy. What's up, CP?
Yo, Jeff, what's the deal? I see you gave out all your handles and stuff. And I see you have a Snapchat. Have you ever done like the Draymond Green accident and Snapchat your junk to somebody by accident?
Oh, well, dude, this is funny. And you're talking before the show, and like, we're going to get into something that we have no idea. And it happened 30
right off the rip.
Yeah. I am telling everybody that there will be a dick shot at some point from me. Yeah. I have been close on so many times without, like, by accident. Like, yeah. I'm reading my phone while taking a piss, or I'm doing something, and it's good. And I'm realizing, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, I saw like one finger across. Like, it's going to happen, no doubt about it. So, yeah, it'll happen eventually. So, I'm just waiting for that downfall of me. But how about you? Have you gone Draymond?
No, I haven't. Uploaded it to everybody to see. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a meat mail. Like, my thing with meat mail is this, Jeff. Like, I don't send unsolicited meat mails. You feel what I'm saying? Like, okay. If it's solicited, okay, I mean, maybe. You know what I mean? Unsolicited, I don't do that. That's like ocular rape.
You're right. Dude, I just found my new fantasy football team name for 2019, Ocular Rape.
There you go.
Right there for you. Guys, this is Fantasy Football Elite. It's brought to you by FantasyGuru.com, our 2019 Fantasy Football Draft Guide, available now. Get there. Be a part of the scene. Daily Fantasy Football for this year. Corey, myself, our entire team will be a part of that. If you want the discount side of things, go to EliteFantasy.com/radio, and pow, you're right there for it. All right, exec, let's dive in. So, you know, it's been a week or two since we banged out one of these free pods for everybody. Obviously, we have 50 podcasts and strategies behind the paywall over there. But so a lot is going on. Training camp hasn't opened yet, but there's already news and notes to cover. And most of it, the big news is running back holdouts. And this is obviously, it scares fantasy owners to death because of what happened to Le'Veon Bell last year. You know, going to sit out, I'm going to hold out, then I'm going to sit out. Next thing they know, it's an entire season for the guy. This year, it's Melvin Gordon who came out about a week ago of the Chargers, said, if I don't get a new contract, I'm not coming into camp. Seems pretty hell-bent on staying that course. Now Zeke Elliott comes out and says, or at least he doesn't say publicly, but his people, you know how that goes, his people are starting to say this and spread the word around. So what about Gordon, Corey, like at first? Were you in on Melvin Gordon to start? What does this do? What does a possible holdout do for his fantasy value to you?
Yeah, I was in on him from the start, you know, going as that fifth running back off the board. But he can do so much with catching the football and scoring touchdowns, and we've seen him do it for years, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys where volume trumps efficiency, and that's kind of Melvin Gordon's thing. I was in on him, and I still am in on him, maybe a little bit more towards the back. I don't think they go a full holdout. I think they get him in camp. At least I've always been optimistic like that with these guys. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is you're going to start to see the rise of Austin Ekeler, and Austin Ekeler is going to start hopping up into some fourth and fifth rounds, because you got to think, if he does miss time or gets off to a slow start, or, you know, these holdouts, they normally lead to early season injuries. Yes. And – you know, Eckler's going to start jumping up draft boards. Eckler, you might see Eckler start going in that top 25, Jeff.
Whoa. Even, like, how soon? How long would the
hold? Not soon. If he's holding out, say that main weekend when everybody's drafting, about a month from now.
Yeah.
Holding out on, like, August 18th, August 19th, that weekend, then you'll see Eckler going in the top 25. Because recency bias. People remember last year, the cast that got burnt by Lev Bell, like myself, they're going to think, you know, he's not coming back, which I don't think. I think Lev Bell was a one-off. I don't think this is the new norm in NFL.
Nobody's going to do it. Nobody's sitting out a season unless they want to not play football. And look, well, that's what I believe in Le'Veon Bell. So that's my thing with that. And you're right. Man, I remember I was in a host draft, NFFC drafts that I was doing, and I'd let people take Lev Bell, and I was just grabbing James Conner thinking, all right, well, I got week one and maybe week two covered. I'm good here in the 12th round. People just weren't drafting the backup. I do think that they're going to be more prone to doing it this year, though. And how sure are you, though, it's going to be Eckler over Justin Jackson? Justin Jackson showed a little bit last year, Corey.
No, he really did. I was impressed by some of the things I saw from Jackson last year. But I just look at Eckler as more of the guy with the, you know, with the all-around skill set that's more familiar and been in the offense a little bit longer. I think they're a little bit more comfortable with him. What's my man name out there? Black dude, the ball head. Good running back guy.
Which one? What team?
Not a coach. The Chargers coach. Anthony Lynn, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I trust – I think that's Anthony – I think Lynn and Eckler, you know, have been, you know, working around, you know, for a little bit – for a couple seasons now. So I like him a little bit better. I think Jackson will be in the mix, but I think Eckler is definitely the lead dog.
Yeah, it's going – Eckler, the thing to know about Eckler is that he's not a prototype, like, just pass-catching running back. That's sort of been his role. Here in LA / you know, San Diego, whatever it is. And, but it's, he's, you know, he's 5'10, he's 210, you know, something around, which is kind of what you're looking for in a feature back. So he can be that guy. I do like Justin Jackson. I think if they both had equal amount of time, I like what Jackson can bring over Eckler, but I do think it'll be Eckler, especially at this point. Do you think Gordon will, like, what's your prediction for this right now as we sit here, you know, mid-July? Is it going to get to that point? You referred to earlier, you think they'll get him signed.
I think he'll get in.
Excuse me.
I think he'll get in. Yeah, I think he'll get in. I think, listen, they're going to play hardball with him. This is the Chargers. They don't, you know, this is one of those mom-and-pop organizations. They really don't be paying nobody but except for the quarterback. So I think that's what you'll see in this situation right here. He'll get in, and then he'll play a couple years on the franchise tag, and they'll get rid of him. That's today's NFL. That's what the NFL is. So I think that's what Melvin Gordon has to play for. And like you said, dudes are not going to go the Le'Veon Bell route. Maybe next season he won't play on that franchise tag. When you're on that tag, you're making, you know, that top money right there. You're not locked in. But Austin Eckler is not – I mean, excuse me, Melvin Gordon, I don't think has enough capital to pull that off right now.
Yeah, I agree. What's he, 25, 26? Like, he's not a young guy. He's not an old guy by any means either. 26 going into this year. So, don't know if you want to pull that yet. And you know, at the prime year of 25, 26, it's something you probably want to pull when you're trying to get that next contract around 28 that takes you into your 30s that, you know, it's hard to come by otherwise if you're a free agent at age 30. What about on the other side? Where Zeke Elliott, he's telling his people, supposedly. Now, Zeke, it wouldn't be an offseason in the NFL if Zeke didn't have something going on, you know, getting in some trouble possibly. Was it Vegas? Was he the Vegas one? I can't remember where it was.
I think it was some music festival. It looked like him and his girlfriend was having a little argument or something. Nothing was done, you know what I'm saying? And then I think one of the security personnel came up to him, and he, like, kind of gave him, like, a little shoulder shrug. And the dude did a flop job, you know what I'm saying? Did a crazy flop job, act like he was hurt, whatever. And then, you know, he brought him up there because it's Ezekiel Elliott. And then after that, they was like, after that.
They tried to blackmail, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, after that, you know what I'm saying, he went up to see the commissioner. The commissioner, I guess, was like, yo, keep your head clean, son. We don't want no trouble with you. You know, I don't want – because, you know, one thing about it is Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell, they are not seeing eye to eye. You know what I mean?
So,
the thing about it is, you know, you bring him up there, tell him, listen, I don't want no problems with Jerry. Jerry don't want no problems with me. Just behave yourself, Zeke. You know, I hate to say it that way. But I think that's it. But what I found funny about this is I saw this coming, Jeff.
No.
Yes.
Why? The holdout part, you mean?
Way back in April, he had posted something on Instagram about how he's chasing the bag. And he's got to run it up. And I was thinking, this guy's getting ready to maybe show up late for camp because he's going to want his money now. Because, see, here's the thing. You're talking about extending Dak Prescott now. Dak Prescott hasn't done anything.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott is the team. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. The defense has turned around. They became good. You see Amari Cooper and stuff like that. But Zeke is the engine. Zeke needs to get paid before Dak Prescott. And that's where I think this is coming from. I think if Dallas is serious about being a team that contends deep into the playoffs this year, They need to extend Ezekiel Elliott now.
That's right. I made this proclamation. I don't think Corey, I don't think this is on with you, and you're a Cowboy guy. I have Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
I got them in the NFC Championship game.
I think they're the best team in the National Football League going into the year, and that includes New Orleans Saints. It's not a weakness on this entire roster, but something like this could definitely be a detriment, obviously. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm not concerned about Zeke, all right? Jerry pays.
He does.
He pays this guy. I'll never forget, I was a youngster at this time. I was only like 46 when Emmitt Smith held out. Remember back in the mid-90s, I remember that holdout, and it was pretty dicey, and he had that monster game coming back and all this stuff. Jerry pays his guys, and he said he's going to take care of Dak. I strongly believe that Jerry will do what he has to do to make Zeke happy, whether they sign something for the future, maybe they give him up front, whatever they can do to still stay under the cap. I don't see – Jerry's getting old. This team, they loaded up this offseason with Robert Quinn, and they got Randall Cobb, and they went out and re-signed Amari, and they brought Jason Witten back. This team, he knows he's got a chance to win it this year. They don't need to F around with Zeke Elliott. So I think Jerry will get it done. That's why I'm not as concerned about the Zeke Elliott holdout as I am. Am I crazy?
I know you're 100% correct. Like I said, one thing, Jerry does pay, but he pays his quarterbacks. He does this. His quarterbacks have never had an issue getting paid. We've seen other players have trouble getting paid, but nothing major. You saw him. He brought Dez Bryant back on a very friendly deal for Dez Bryant. I think he does the same thing. I think that the Jones family gets the same thing done with Ezekiel Elliott. So I'm not really worried about Zeke. If you are, Tony Pollard and Mike Weber are the guys that would be getting to work. Weber would be the guy that would be banging between the tackles. Pollard projects to be an Alvin Kamara type player.
I like Pollard a great deal, and I like any running back. This is why Zeke Elliott's my number one player on the board. He's my number one overall pick this year. This offensive line is absolutely phenomenal. I think Corey Parson could run behind it and get 1,200 yards. That's how positive. I don't know
about maybe 12.
1,200, we'll see. For 12, only 12 yards. But, yeah, Weber and Pollard, fourth and seventh round picks. Definitely handcuff material for Zeke Elliott if you're protecting that first overall pick or even the top four, wherever you have it. You mentioned it before with like Melvin Gordon and volume versus efficiency when it comes to, I guess we'll stick with running backs. We could make this about other positions too. Where do you fall? Because there are some players in a lot of, fantasy football, Twitter and social media these days, I feel is slanted towards efficiency more than volume. Where do you fall if given the choice between those two? Because you kind of have like Gordon and like Kamara, for instance. Like those are one's crazy efficient, one's just a volume whore. Where do you side?
Give me efficiency. The efficient player is normally the better football player. Like you do a great example, Gordon and Kamara. Kamara is a much better football player than Melvin Gordon is. So I'm just going to take that out. It's like the Jamal Charles theory. Jamal Charles would run the ball 15, 12, 15 times a game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he would go off, but that's how good Jamal Charles was in his hey. Well, a guy like Melvin Gordon, he's a plotter. He don't really give you 100 yards, but he's going to score touchdowns, and he's just going to continue to have the football. I think last season, even missing game in 12 weeks last year for Gordon, he had, 165 attempts. He caught 50 balls, too. But he had, three games over 100 yards rushing? So, whereas Kamara, he could get half of that number and put up half of those touches and put up that number. So, give me the more efficient guy because they're normally the better football player.
See, I'm the opposite. I go volume. I'm a volume whore.
Really?
Yeah, because, dude, everything I do in fantasy is pretty much investing in the offense. These players, to me, are just like chips. Like I don't care about their names, their faces. These are all just useless pawns in my world.
Yeah.
That I use. You know what I mean? So I'm so callous when it comes to the player name or whatever. I just want to get the guys in the right situation, which is why I want to invest in certain backfields or certain passing games or certain quarterbacks. And I want the guys who are going to do it the most. Nothing wrong with having an efficient player. It's wonderful. But yeah. I worry then when they get shut out and that, they get a quality opponent, a better defense. They're facing Jacksonville, Chicago, where it doesn't allow them to be as efficient. Then I get very worried about that. So I'm kind of
dig it. But my thing is, see, the studs are going to do well against those better defenses. Like Kamara is not tripping off Jacksonville's defense. That's kind of how I view it.
Yeah. I think he does. Like, I think Jacksonville shut it down. Where a lot of fantasy production is done against just crappy teams and opponents, and they feast. Like, the big scores that you see are always against, you know, some of the bottom feeders in the NFL. Very rarely do you see great defenses get rolled up.
I think the toughest defense he went against last year was probably the Ravens. Mm. I think he put up, he only had 15. And he has a touchdown to go along with that. So, that does hold some credence to it. Also, that Monday night game when they lost to the Cowboys, I believe he only may have had 10 fantasy points that night in the PPR.
Okay. So, but again, the Saints, like, that's an offense I'm going to invest in too.
Yeah.
So, I hit both of that. Speaking of the Saints, so what do you think, without Mark Ingram being there, is it – Latavius Murray going to just be assume that role? You know, they brought in Javarius, don't call me Buck Allen, Azigbo, another guy that they signed as a college free agent. That's a big, strong in between the tackles type runner. I mean, how much more? Kamara had the seventh most touches in the National Football League last year. How much more can he really take on? And who else? Who gets some of that?
It's Lat Murray. It's Lat Murray. And if I'm not mistaken, Lat Murray is probably going undrafted in most leagues right now.
No, he's high, dude. He's going.
Oh, really? I haven't seen him being drafted too much. I've only did about four. I haven't really seen Lat Murray, but yeah, go ahead.
It's 86, I think it's ADP. That's why I was like, wow.
Overall?
Overall.
Oh, wow.
Dude, it surprised me. I remember my Scott Fishbowl draft that we're doing. I'm like, whoa, Lat Murray was off the board even earlier than I gotta say, sixth round. Like, wow. Lamar Miller, like, starters weren't even off the board and people were taking Lat Murray. And I thought to myself, I'm like, damn, as much as I think that he'll get that role, I think it'll be a true training camp competition between him and Buck Allen.
You know? Really? You think so? But Buck Allen been overrated for years, though.
Well, so is Lat Murray, though. I mean, Lat Murray, just he's a between the tackle runner. Buck Allen's a better pass catcher, which
that's true.
Because if you get like Lat Murray, you're going to be able to identify, all right, they're going to run more likely than throw to the running backs. With a guy like Mark Ingram, always caught the ball fairly well for a bigger guy, you know, 45 catches, 48 catches per season, I think, somewhere around that. So that's why I still think it's Lat Murray, like, if you had to choose, but I think it's closer than what people think. I think there's a shot for Buck Allen, maybe even a Zigbo, you know, because I look back at Sean Payton's history. That's why I love this coaching stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at – I remember when Kamara was brought in, and it's like, all right, and all of us were saying, like, well, Kamara has no chance. He's a third-string running back. It's Peterson and Ingram. And then they're like, nah, Peterson gone. Like, immediately, like, you know, Kamara just showed it. So I do think that there's nobody guaranteed, like, Lat Murray isn't guaranteed the role. And for where he's going in drafts, we're drafting him as if he's guaranteed that role. I think
his game is very similar to Mark Ingram.
Except for,
you know, the ability to catch the football that Mark Ingram has. When you talk about that between the tackle, though, his style kind of reminds me of that. We saw him pick up the pieces for Dalvin Cook a couple seasons ago. And then last, you know, he's been a guy who's prodded and bounced around for the most part. But you know what? What I think is, this is a situation that's good for him. I think he gets the first crack at it, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, I think so, too. At least he is the inside track of the job. Whether he gets it or not, we'll see. And that's something we'll be discussing on this podcast and our draft guide podcast and over at fantasyguru.com, where we have the draft room. You know, pop in. All of our experts, including Corey and myself, we're in there. We're hanging out with you, helping you with your drafts and stuff. And that training camp, it's going to be a lot of movement going on, and it's going to affect the ADP and all that. We just talked about Gordon and Zeke and how they're being drafted. We've already seen both of them drop a little bit just in the immediate aftershocks, if you will, with that. And we'll see how some of these other training camp battles all shape up. Let's look at the ADP. Let's look at some of these guys. I want to get a taste for what you're doing who's going too high and too low in your mind? Let's go through who's going too high.
What do you use for ADP, Jeff? Because there's always been controversy on what people use for ADP.
So the way I go, NFFC. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the one to me that I like the most just because people are paying money. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, mock drafts and all this. Like, I don't know, man. Are you into mock drafts anymore?
I can't. Jeff, I did so many of them shits. Oh, my God. I did so many of them shits at one point, Jeff. I'd be in that thing all God, all gosh darn night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My girlfriend back when I had one. But like, I just keep hearing that shit go off all night. Jeff, I wouldn't even think about doing a mock draft right now. Dude,
it's too much. Like, it's just they're passe, really. What I think is if you're going to do something, do a best ball, an MFL 10.
MFL 10, yeah.
BB10, whatever they're calling it. Like, do that. At least you get, you know, it's $10. Put some skin in the game. You can get something out of it, and you still go through the draft process. And you just want other people to be invested, too. You want a true – you know, I hate when it's, you know, that. And NFFC is one of those where people are paying, you know, usually some pretty good money to do these drafts, so they're at least serious, even if they're overdrafted.
And I agree with you on that. Like I said, you know, shout out to the people at Fantasy Pros. They do a great job. But sure. – I'd rather get my I don't get my my ADPs from there. I go to the NFFC also. Because even if you're a dude that's doing like a $25 league, you know what I'm saying, like a $25 best ball, that's a mock draft to me. I'm not trying to win that. I'm trying to put strategy together and then send it back out to the audience. So, yeah, I'm on the site now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let's do something controversial real quick because you just brought something up, like you said, you know. So this stuff came out, and a Fantasy Pros or whatever, for instance, you know, and they do the consensus. I would just say like in the last 10 years, I haven't submitted my picks to that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I never give them my information. I have a rough time. I like the guys over Tags is one of my dudes, Southside guy like myself, but, I don't know. I just feel like I don't like them using my stuff. You know what I mean? For like, you know, displayed on their site. So I don't ever submit that. So, and neither do a lot of people. So all these things about, hey, I won the most accurate or whatever. It's not your most accurate of who submitted.
Yeah, exactly. Now, listen, now I've worked with, you know, the All In Kid for years. You know what I'm saying? My man, Jake Seeley, who normally comes in top 2, 3, 4 this year, top 10, you know what I'm saying? Yep. And the only person I've ever seen get clout and get paid behind that was Jake. Everybody else is just like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. You know, it's just like, oh, look, you know what it is? Show me, what kind of money have you won?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
There you go.
So what I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, I had that question the other day, somebody on Twitter hit me up and they said, hey, can you talk about whether, you know, how you handle rooting for your own fantasy teams versus your favorite teams? And I go, and my exact response, Corey, is like I'm a Chicago, I grew up in Chicago, so I'm a Bears fan. Bears ain't never sent me a check.
Yep.
Like, I've been down, I've been out of my mind. I never got a check from the Chicago Bears saying, here's something to help you out. Like, never. So, but I want them to win. I feel good when they win or whatever. But if it's between me winning and cashing a check or them doing it, it's me every single time. And
I mean, exactly. I've been to Jerry's World. I've been to the Football Palace in North Texas. Mm-hmm. When I went to the restaurant, they was like, this is $25. When I went to the gift shop, they was like, this is $34.99. You know what I'm saying?
No freebie, you didn't get anything. Hey, I'm
like, I've been a fan for years. They was like, we don't give a shit. Yeah.
I remember, I remember Roger Staubach. Yeah, we don't care. It's $35.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing, man. I just worry about what you're in control of and worry about what directly affects you because that's really what we have, dude. The sports are making all these – I'm not sorry for baseball. I'm not sorry for any of these leagues. These leagues are making plenty of cash everywhere, you know. Yeah. And this fantasy stuff, it's about making our little piece of that. So that's
all we're trying to do. This is our industry to get in there and try to make a couple of dollars now. And like you said, I also am not sorry for Major League Baseball. I'm not sorry for NBA players. I'm not sorry for any of them, but I also am not sorry for the little short dude that went into the bagel store and got beat up. I'm not sorry for him either, Jeff. Not sorry for him either.
Which short dude are you talking about? Is that specifically what a
bagel? The bagel boss. You ain't see this viral video? The dude going in Long Island, going to the bagel shop.
No.
And he was like, "Yeah, I'm 5 foot." You know, women make fun of me my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. They laugh at me because I'm short. And
no.
I'm surprised you haven't seen this viral sensation.
I gotta look at this bagel boy. Is that what it's called?
Put a bagel boss video. You probably pop it up right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a viral thing. It's been all over.
How do I find this? Bagel boss fight.
Yeah, and bagel boss fight.
I'm watching it now. Bagel boss guy loses his mind. All right. So what did he do? Like, what's the...
Just watch it the way it starts. I mean, dude is just like, he's like a short dude. You're like 4'11", 5 feet tall. Sure. So you know how the rest, Jeff, you know, leave it up to your imagination. It's not, you know, you don't want to be the small spoon all the time.
Right. So he just went at it with people?
I think he was upset with some women. Like, he just was having the bad days, what it looked like. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And people were like, oh, I felt so bad for him because he's short and he can't get a woman. Women make fun of him. I know plenty of short dudes, you know what I'm saying, that you'd be like, damn.
Yeah, man. Dude, I tell you, you look at folks that follow me on Twitter, social media, will see, like, I wasn't born handsome. Like, you know, like, I got the giant face, and I got what I got to get. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get where you need to be, folks, and you need to hustle. And that's what I grew up on the South Side. That's what it's all about. Rusty, who we work at a Fancy Guru, and I, you know, grew up in similar areas. You know, and, you know, you fight your way out. You get it. You got to fight and scrap and all that kind of stuff. But, dude, nobody's going to give you anything.
You got to get it out the mud. You know what I'm saying?
You have to take it. You have to go and take it.
There you go. Just because you 5 feet, you know what I'm saying, and can't get a date. But dude was like a real jerk about it, too. And then somebody just, like, threw him down in the joint. But then, like, other videos came out. He in 7-Eleven one night. Was like, oh, you, why drafting my height? You know what I'm saying? And, oh, man, so...
He's all.
His height is like a crutch, but really he's just a dickhead.
I'm watching this and it's wild. People pop all of it. He's out of his mind. The bagel boss guy. Wow. Let's look at some overvalued or high, you know, ADP's too high. Let's just get what you think. I have my list here and I'll go through it. One, let's just start at the tip of the spear, which is Patrick Mahomes. Like, I have nothing but love for Patrick Mahomes. Love what the kid did. You know, energetic. Everything's great. There's, you know, wonderful. If I'm wearing a jersey, I'm wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. But, dude, going late second, early third round, Corey, in a one quarterback setup like the NFFC or a lot of people's listener leagues out there, like, I'm not touching any quarterback. You could say any Hall of Fame, any quarterback in the history. I ain't touching them in the second or third round.
I don't mind drafting the quarterback early, but this is too much for me. What I find interesting about Mahomes, like in the early drafts, he was trending, you know, in six point per touchdown league on this 2-3 turn, right? Mm-hmm. In four on that 4-5 turn. When Tyreek Hill got his little situation, his ADP didn't move.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait a minute now, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ADP should be moving along with Tyreek Hill news, and it's not. It's like he's locked in. And like I said, I'm a Pat Mahomes guy. Sure. I will have Pat Mahomes on teams because in a 4 point per passing touchdown league, I don't mind snatching up my quarterback in the fifth round. I think I can win that way. It has, you know what I mean? But in a six, on a 2-3 turn, nah, you got to give me a little more value than that, especially with the Tyreek Hill situation up in the air.
It's a great point, and I yell about, like, the Rams receivers, you know, and they're starting to fade now, too. It's like, you're not going to tell me Jared Goff is, like, 11th or 12th best fantasy quarterback, then you're going to draft three of his receivers in the top three rounds. Like, it doesn't work, you know. Something has to give there, and I think that the correlation between Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill is the exact same thing. Something has to give here, you know, and listen, it's fine if you want to say, Patrick Mahomes, doesn't matter if Hill's there eight games or not. Okay, cool. So where are you drafting Sammy Watkins? And you're like, no, I'm not worried about it. Well, somebody's catching damn ball.
Yeah, it's not just going to be Travis Kelce. I don't mind where Kelce ADP is at. I'm not an early tight end guy, though. Like, I think it leaves a big hole in your roster. I think you got to find a hit on a tight end a little bit later on. That's normally where my championship successes come from. But Mahomes on a 2-3 turn, If I know I got 16 of weeks of Hill, maybe, but I don't see why the ADP is not going down along with Tyreek Hill's.
Well, let's talk about that, because Tyreek Hill, I believe, last I checked, he was the fourth round here too. Like, he's 48 or something like that. Like, he's dropping a little bit. But I'm like, why is anybody drafting Tyreek Hill, like, anywhere in the top six rounds? Like, I don't understand that at all. Like, we know Chris, or the Jet guy, Chris Herndon, he just got four games for a DUI. Yeah. You don't think Tyreek Hill? Yeah, 43.44 here, Corey. Like, dude, fourth round pick, you're gonna go Tyreek Hill. That's an absolute waste. 8 weeks of the fantasy season. Yeah, you'll have him for playoffs and all that stuff, but you have to get to the playoffs for it to matter.
Have you been suspended yet, though?
No, not yet. But yeah, but we know he is. Come on, man.
Right? No, you know what? This story looked like it's starting to turn in his favor. As crazy as this sounds.
Yeah, dude.
It's still like it's going to turn in his favor. I've heard some people say, I read someone that they think it's going to be two games.
I would have my ass sewn to the carpet if it was two games. I would be. We know what Roger Goodell is. We know what the NFL is. Like, there's guys getting all these games. Like,
Zeke got six games and he didn't do shit.
He didn't do anything, and he wasn't even charged for nothing. And there, by the way, and Adrian Peterson, it was his own kid. Like, man, you don't do kids, you don't do women in today's post Ray Rice environment. Like, this, two of the biggest no-nos in the world, Tyreek Hill has checked both boxes. Whether he did it or didn't, it doesn't matter. The heat. It's just too much.
I would think it'd be tough for him not to come away with six games, but it does look like this story is starting to change in his favor a little bit. I would be shocked, but you know, some of the reports I've seen. But I'm comfortable putting it at six games, because that's what Roger Goodell said the domestic thing was going to be. You know what I mean? He said it was going to be, huh?
I think it's going to be eight.
You think it's going to be eight?
But six is, you know, six to eight, though.
It's the same thing. You got to bring Mahomes down, and you got to bring Hill down, too. Right. If Hill gets 8 weeks, I'm not touching Hill till round eight.
Right, yeah, absolutely. You can't start him. He's not going to be a starter most of the season for you. Yeah,
exactly.
In this case, because it's the same deal. Then he gets back, and don't forget, they got a bye in week 12 anyway. Sorry, he comes back week. Let's say he gets six games. Yeah. He comes back seven, and then next thing you know, and then he's out week 12. So what are you getting? 3 weeks of him, and he's a guy who relies on speed. He's not in football shape. He's not practicing. Somebody else is, you know, if you believe in the Chiefs' offense, somebody else is doing well in that interim. It doesn't immediately go back to Hill necessarily. You know, there could be a 1 to 2 week, you know, ramp up. Oh man!
If you multi-entry some of these FFPCs and FFWCs and NFFCs to knock down a big one, I can see you taking a shot on it on one of your teams, maybe two of your teams if you have four or five of those teams. Other than that, my thing is trade deadline. Make a move for him around the trade deadline.
Right. Yeah. It's the same thing with My biggest rant about this whole offseason is this Kareem Hunt. And people are worried about, like, I have Nick Chubb, fifth running back overall, and I'll stand behind that with my chest out. Anybody who gets that, Kareem Hunt ain't going to make a hell of a difference in Cleveland. Like, there's no path for Kareem Hunt to produce. There's no path. Because any direction you go, I'm gonna nip it in the bud. And it's like, okay, and the people are thinking, okay, well, Kareem Hunt comes back, he's gonna produce. Why is he going to produce? Well, Cleveland has got a great offense. Well, Nick Chubb's produced for 8-9 weeks. You're telling me he's gonna produce for 8-9 weeks because Cleveland's got a good offense, and then they're gonna take him out because this guy who's never ran in the offense that was out for the first week coming back? What? That doesn't make any sense. That's not going to happen. They're not going – and Buzz, Kareem Hunt got a league minimum deal, one-year deal. They don't have – they're not tied to him. They're tied to Nick Chubb. Why are they going to let him produce? You know what I mean? Every single facet of Kareem Hunt's existence results in a very, very little amount of fantasy value, CP.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the way he's going in drafts, I can see him making a little push towards the playoffs, but Man, Nick Chubb is so good. I've been watching Nick Chubb for a long time. You see how many long runs Nick Chubb broke off last year? Yeah. He's going to do more of that again this year, especially now with the rest of the pieces they got in that offense. So this is Chubb's job to lose. Mm-hmm. Get up to that slow start last year, bounce back real nicely. Wow. I think he could be a first-round back, you know what I'm saying? Especially by the time that we get to, month and a half from now, he could be a first-round back.
I got Chubb in my Scott Fishbowl in the second round, the middle of the second round, and I was ecstatic about it. I'll be all about that. I'm not worried about Kareem Hunt one iota, not a single bit. And Nick Chubb, you mentioned how good he was. He set an all-time record for yards after contact. He broke the scale at 4.4 yards after contact. It doesn't happen. Like, you don't get these kind of numbers. You know, he was great at Georgia. I'll never forget. My son was way into the Georgia Bulldogs because, you know, Bulldog and the whole thing. And I was watching Todd Gurley just rip it up in the SEC. I'm like, damn, Todd Gurley's amazing. And then Todd Gurley goes down. I go, oh, they're in trouble. And then Nick Chubb comes in. I'm like, what? I'm like, who's that other guy that used to run the ball for Georgia? Like, Nick Chubb made me forget about Todd Gurley. That's how.
And then they hit you with Sony Michel. And then this year they come back with DeAndre Swift. So, you know what I mean? They got that's a place. I tell fantasy owners, when it comes to paying attention to the NFL draft, draft Georgia Bulldog running backs, draft Florida State Seminole running backs. They tend to get it done on the next level. Now, you see how Chubb progressed last year, Jeff?
Oh.
Who's that guy this year? Is that Sanders for the Eagle?
I like that
takes off a little bit later on into the season?
Yes. I think that's a really good pull right there. Miles Sanders probably early on. We'll see how he does at pass pro and things like that. And Howard gets more run early. But Miles Sanders, another guy at Penn State that he comes in. He was never Saquon Barkley. But if you just take out the Saquon Barkley factor, you're like, this kid's fantastic.
Exactly.
If Barkley would have never happened at Penn State, this guy would have had a lot more hype coming out. So, yeah, I'm a big Miles Sanders fan in terms of, you know, a running back that just – comes on late. You know, it could be David Montgomery. It could be a
I think Montgomery gets it going early.
That's probably because they have a lot of vacated touches.
Yeah.
Howard. Tariq Cohen's already come out. He said it. We know it with Matt Nagy that they're going to he's going to be pass catch only, and they're going to run him in his situations. Which, by the way, one thing with the Bears for our DFS players to note, and I designate this in my coaching breakdowns, is that when they run both power and zone runs and they mess with the defense, and it screws you up from a DFS perspective, because last year they would run Tariq Cohen in power formations and Seth, and they'd run Jordan Howard in zone. And Cohen did very well out of power, whereas Howard was a piece of crap in zone, should have never done it. But they did that to kind of fool the defense. Just something to take into account with David Montgomery, who also ran power formations and power blocking in school. I'm trying to think of another guy who will come on late. I don't know. Daryl Henderson's pretty chalky to say.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, there's some guy, like, I love Benny Snell from Pittsburgh. Like, if anything happens to James Conner, everyone's okay on Jalen Samuels' jock, and I get it. He did very well two games when he was out. I don't know why they draft this ultra productive running back from Kentucky. It doesn't pass the sniff test for me. Benny Snell's a three down back, good pass catcher, patient runner too, which reminds me of Le'Veon Bell a hell of a lot. So if I'm trying to like prognosticate deeper into the season, that's a guy I think could work his way up to RB2 in Pittsburgh and then be the true handcuff to a guy like James Conner. That's about it. You got one for us?
That's really, like I said, I want to see, do you think something happens in Tampa? I think it's a spot in Tampa that could be had.
Yeah.
And I think if the Buccaneers are smart, which they haven't proven to be since I've been alive, they should try to get Duke Johnson.
Yeah, that would be a tremendous – it's perfect for Bruce Arians and what they want. Mm-hmm. It really is. I drafted Ronald Jones in the Scott Fishbowl, not because I targeted him or wanted him. It's just it came to that
you
point.
You timed out.
It's just like, you know, dude, I got to go into it, but it had to be every bit of eight rounds. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to let this dude sit out for nothing and let everybody else pick him up for free. He's like my fourth running back. Not really worried about if he hits, great. If he doesn't, it didn't cost me anything at that point. So, yeah, I mean, Jones and Barber, somebody will produce better, I think, in Tampa Bay than they have in the past. Bruce Arians loves using his running backs as weapons out of the backfield, catching the football. Yep. It's a thing like last year, Corey, I was way anti-David Johnson, and people thought I was absolutely crazy. And obviously, I was right on the money. And I said, you know, the thing about David Johnson, we kind of forget because he's done so well. He's just a kid from Northern Iowa. He was not recruited well out of high school. He was not sought after by big name schools. He did well at Northern Iowa, like real well, but not, you know, nothing like, oh my God, you can't believe what he did kind of stuff, like LaDainian Thompson at TCU or something. Like, he, you know, and then he got in the right system. And Chris Johnson was balling out for Arizona, you know, that year that David Johnson was drafted. He couldn't supplant Chris Johnson, who was over the hill by that time. So, you know, David Johnson, I like him and all, but
the thing about David Johnson, it was like he was on Arians' fantasy team. We were like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we gonna give him the ball 45 times. You know what I'm saying? Like, fantasy, his owners are like, yeah, but he, you know what I mean?
He relied on
really a good look for him.
Right, especially the bad offensive line and now a new offense and all this shit. So, yeah, you got to be careful on these players.
What about Buffalo? What was the kid they drafted name?
Devin Singletary?
Yeah, Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what they have with, like, over 30 running backs, but McCoy and Gore, like, I don't get any of that.
They're trying to fill out the roster. And they tried to get Antonio Brown. I'm like – Well, you going to be mom and pops? So what are we trying to do here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't bring in Shady, Frank Gore, Yeldon, Antonio Brown. Like, what are we doing here?
I almost wanted him to go to Buffalo just to see, like, wow. If you think he was pissed in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you can forget about that. I remember when that rumor first broke.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, kill that.
Yeah, he was on IG. And he's like, no, that ain't happening. No flipping way. So, yeah, Singletary's intriguing. I like – listen, Cody Ford was one of my favorite offensive linemen in the draft. They got him in the second round. They brought in Mitch Morse from Kansas City, part of the line that blocked for Mahomes last year. So they made some upgrades there. I don't think they're – where, you know, they were a mediocre offensive line at this point with no depth. So if I'm targeting Buffalo or some team like that, I want a great offensive line that I think, okay, yeah, a mediocre running back or an older running back or a rookie running back could just produce because he's going to be running through big old holes. And I really don't see that here in Buffalo. So
no, especially after what you saw last year with the Buffalo Bills, listen, I think they're on the right track. They're going to turn it around and need some more draft picks to hit. I don't know why they didn't like Tyrod Taylor enough to let him, you know what I mean, continue to lead the team and compete, but they went and they got their quarterback. Like you said, Shady is over the hill. The O-line is not great. There's no weapons on the outside. There's nothing here for fantasy. Maybe this kid can take it off, you know, can bounce a little bit later on into the season and you get a pickup. You know, before the combine, people liked him. Then he got to the combine, he ran that 4.6, and they was like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? And, and after that, you know, that's how you end up in Buffalo.
Yep. And well, it's like Elijah McGuire or Elijah Holyfield. That was like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Evander Holyfield's
son. And it's like, and he was another Georgia guy, mm-hmm, and it did well. And then he ran a 4.8. Everyone like, oh, God.
Yeah. Where's Swift come out next year? Okay.
We're going to pass on the 4.8 right there. Speaking of hype guys, and one other player that's overdrafted, and it goes back to our talk about Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians, it's Chris Godwin. Like, it's become – do you notice this, Corey, by the way? Like, you're an industry guy. You're all over the place. Like, I just – I feel it's every time this year a segment of the fantasy football Twitter sphere or social media, they want to just rub their jocks against each other and just bat it again. Like, they want to say, hey, I got this guy. I got – everybody wants the same group of players. And to me, one of those players this year is Chris Godwin. I don't know how I feel about – like, I wanted to like him. I thought, okay, he's going to be dark. Then all of a sudden, they're running him up the ADP, and I'm like, good God. I think he went the fourth round in my draft. And I
would know. That's crazy right there.
It's insane. Like, I like Bruce Arians. I like his offenses. Jameis could be okay. I like Mike Evans, but my God, like, for one, you had one good year of a wide receiver two under Bruce Arians ever. That was John Brown's miracle 2015 or 14, whatever it was.
That was a miracle.
Yeah, and it's been nothing else. So what makes us think that Chris Godwin's going to produce as the second wide receiver next to Mike Evans in Tampa?
He had some big moments last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who Ryan Fitzpatrick is a quarterback version of Bruce Arians. He just throw the shit, I don't care, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I might trick y'all into giving me a long-term deal, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, you know, he had those 300-yard games last year with old boy. And then, you know, he had a lot of touchdowns. He had a good amount of touchdowns. I think he might have had 7 touchdowns last year. He had a good amount of touchdowns, put it like that. Yeah. And, you know, he's got good talent, nice red zone target. Not in the 4th and 5th round, though. There's so many other wide receivers that I would value over Godwin. And let's look at him try to find his ADP right quick.
48?
That's tough. Okay. Yeah. I mean, come on. Going ahead of Big Mike Williams, who's got supreme talent.
That's the guy. That's exactly the guy that I brought up when I was on the Sirius XM show when I was talking about Godwin. I said, "How somebody needs to justify this in my world. How do you justify that? What's your point?" And like, I don't want to hear about last year. Like, I'm a big anti-last year guy. It's fine if you're the Patriots, Steelers, like teams that have the same coaching staff, same playbook, same philosophy. But you can't tell me you go from a West Coast offense to an Earhart Perkins offense to a spread offense to an Eric Coryell offense, and then everything's going to be the same, because it doesn't work that way. It's like saying, you know, this actor – is going to be great. You know, Jack Nicholson's great in Cuckoo's Nest, and then it's, you know, you get freaking Mars Attacks, and it's like, no, it's not the same movie. I don't care if it's the same guy. That guy in this movie doesn't mean crap to me.
I don't see it. like over Big Mike Will, that's disgusting. No, Big Mike Will got the draft talent, Clemson. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, when they played Ohio State, they beat them 35 to nothing. That whole secondary is in the NFL, Jeff.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. And Mike Will was tearing those dudes apart. This guy can play. He just got Keenan Allen on the other side of him, Hunter Henry and stuff like that, and he's got to stay healthy. But that's like legit talent right there. Chris Godwin is a guy, and he's the guy that shouldn't be going. But they're hyping him up because of Arians, and they're hyping him up because of what he did last year with Fitzmagic. When he played with Winston last year, the numbers went down.
And Winston
like Adam Humphreys.
Yeah, I'm a good look. Let's keep making Adam Humphreys happen. I can't.
I'm off of Corey Davis too.
Yeah, I can't do Corey Davis.
I can't do no Tennessee Titans.
No, I can't. Too unsettled. And they went and I gave this tidbit out, by the way. Speaking of coaching, do you know the offensive coordinator for the Titans is this year? The answer is nobody. His name is Arthur Smith. You know why? What's interesting about Arthur Smith?
What's that?
He is the son of the founder of FedEx. Where is FedEx based? Tennessee. What's the only organization Arthur Smith has ever been associated with? The Tennessee Titans. It is the most bullcrap hire in National Football League history since Mike Shula.
Like, that's crazy.
No business. He's no pedigree. He's never coached, CP. He's never coached. Yikes. He's done nothing. This guy's an offensive coordinator. Yeah,
that's not a good look right there.
That's
bad business. I don't know if Mariota's ever going to be something. Remember the debate, Mariota or Winston? Turns out both of them might not be in the league 5 years later. You know what I'm saying?
I really believe that comes down to coaching, man. I really do. Because Mariota is as polished as a modern-day quarterback prospect as you're ever going to see, as far as throw all the passes, all the routes, can run, can hit targets on the run. He came out of Oregon, can do everything. And then he got, Malarkey? I forgot his first coach in Tennessee, then Mike Malarkey, and now it's like Mike Vrabel. It's like, dude, this guy's had nobody to groom him. It's like a good kid that could have been a rocket scientist, and he grew up, you know, with a bunch of people scratching lottery tickets or whatever. He's like, oh, my God, this kid doesn't have a chance. And that's what I feel with Mariota. And Winston, too. Like, just Dirk Cutter, I don't even get – Dirk Cutter never sits right for what he did to Lovie Smith. I'm never going to I'll never approve of him. He knifed Lovey in the back to get the job. He got the job, and he was a piece of crap doing it.
Yeah. Cutter and see the thing, Jameis is a type of cat like this. He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, listen, I'm going to throw some interceptions. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to throw some touchdowns too. And I'm trying to do less interceptions than touchdowns. I don't like scaring quarterbacks into not turning the ball over. I think that takes away from their game. Speaking of Cutter, back in Atlanta now, and, you know, obviously him and Matt Ryan have that rapport, and they've worked well together for years before. I would worry about Calvin Ridley this year, though.
Yeah.
Sarkisian coached Calvin Ridley at Alabama.
Sure.
And Sarkisian wanted Calvin Ridley in Atlanta. Cutter might be like, I don't care about him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got Sanu. I got Julio. I got Austin Hooper. I would worry about Calvin Ridley a little bit this year. Where you at on Calvin Ridley?
I'm very neutral because I love the talent and all that.
Yeah, the talent is real. I think his brother's good too, man.
Yeah.
He's underdrafted this year. Yeah.
Bears got it
Riley Ridley.
Yeah. Such a weird name. But, yeah, I like Calvin Ridley a great deal. But I'm with you. I'm nervous about the Dirt Cutter effect. I think that, you know, Matt Ryan had one of the greatest seasons in quarterback history that nobody will ever know about. It was a top 20 all-time quarterback season last year. Threw for 4,900 and 30-plus. Like, dude.
Like he had the MVP hangover. He was great last year. Oh, Jeff, I got Matt Ryan on like every team I drafted this year so far. Matt Ryan is on it.
Of course. And so he's got those kind of weaponry around him. Devonta Freeman being back is a good thing. They two first-round offensive linemen, which is huge to keeping him upright. But, yeah, I'm not exactly sure on what Calvin Ridley's role is going to be. I don't know how much he's going to be on the field. I don't know how much three wide receiver set they're going to play in the 11. I assume it'll be about what they did in Tampa Bay because Quinn has hands off in Atlanta. It's all Dirt Cutter system. So I imagine it's going to be pretty familiar to what we saw in Tampa. But yeah, I'm pretty neutral on Calvin Ridley. And I've done four drafts so far. I don't have a share yet.
Yeah, me neither. And like I said, I'm a huge Calvin Ridley fan. Yeah. Calvin Ridley, Riley Ridley, Jeremy Judy, the whole crew. Those boys can all play. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, these dudes can ball. But now you look at that. Another thing that's interesting in Atlanta, who's behind Freeman? Because people say Edo Smith, but Kenyon Barner is there too. And Barner's a bum, but you know what?
He's been around.
He's been around, exactly.
He keeps getting work. He, Ito Smith. They have the other. Who's the other guy?
Quadri Allison.
Holly Allison. Yeah. That they took. He's a bigger guy. Runs between the tackles from Pitt. So yeah, I mean, it's Ito Smith, and believe me, I'm all in on Devonta Freeman. I've been very upfront about that. Like fourth round. This is one of the reasons I don't mind waiting in drafts to I don't have to get a running back. If I don't get one of those top four guys and you're going to leave me either Hopkins, Julio, Michael Thomas, or Devonta Adams, you're going to leave one of those boys on the board for me in the first, or possibly two of them in the first and second, I'll hit that. I'll come back with Nick Chubb in the second or possibly even the third where I've seen him go, or I'll grab Freeman, Derrick Henry, some of these guys later on that I absolutely adore. So I'm wide open to
I'm on Freeman too. I like Freeman. I think the ADP is going to start to spike a little bit after you get past the training camp. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it spikes higher than the fourth round, to be honest with you. I don't think we ever see him in the third throughout the whole draft season.
People worried
I saw last year coming because I think he had a unreported concussion in that 49er game two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. I think he had an unreported concussion in that game. He had the concussion against Dallas. He had the concussion in preseason. So he had like four concussions in like a 14-month span.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, they're going to put this guy on the IR. Put him on the IR. I think he's got his brain back together and stuff like that. He said he's going to change his running style. You know, not change his running style. He only knows he's day counting. He only know one way to go. But he's like, he's probably going to take it a little bit more out of bounds this time.
Right.
I worry about the concussions more than anything else when it comes to Freeman.
And here's the thing. That's why I do what I do. I just handcuff the hell out of this. Like, that's all I do. Like, I'm not worried about trying to – I don't need to identify the backup and some other place or whatever. I just sniff around. I'm like my dog when there's steak. I look around and I'm like, okay, I'm in on which teams want to run the ball, which teams want to throw, which teams are you going to use the running back the most and has the most opportunity. And Atlanta is right there without Tevin Coleman now with Dirk Koetter here, back to one running back, primarily one running back system. I think it's going to be Freeman and heavily. And then I'll lock in either Ito Smith or Allison or even Barner if it, depending on how things go during training camp. Right now, Freeman, I'll draft Ito Smith later on. If Freeman gets a concussion, I got the Falcons starting running back. I don't even worry about it. Like, and I tell people this all the time. You look at every great running back throughout history in fantasy. Every single one from Emmitt Smith all the way back, from Walter Payton, Neil Anderson behind him. Man, every time the starter goes down in great systems, the backup does just as well. Saw it with James Conner last year. Saw it with C.J. Anderson last year. We see it all the time. I remember Trunk Candidate, the guy, random player behind Marshall Faulk. Larry Johnson behind Priest Holmes. Then behind Larry Johnson, you had Derek Blaylock behind him. And it just goes on and on.
Hey, Jeff, who was that dude? I think he won. He came in late in the season, back-to-back years for the Bears. And he won people fantasy championships behind Matt Forte. Was it Mike Davis? Oh,
no. It was Adrian Peterson. It was other Adrian Peterson. Remember
the other Adrian Peterson? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. A lot of people got hurt in drafts and they put the wrong sticker on the board.
I remember that. Yeah.
Good. I like that.
No, wait a minute, Jeff. Yeah. Didn't the Bears have a guy named Mike Bush or something like that?
Well, Michael Bush was from Louisville, fantastic, like a big, strong running back. He was there 1 year.
I feel like this guy did it back-to-back years. Maybe it was the other Adrian Peterson.
It was the other Adrian Peterson for like that made an impact. Then they had James Allen. Oh, you were talking about James Allen the year he broke a record against the Ravens when the Ravens had Ray Lewis. He went at Soldier Field. This guy ran for like 220 yards against the Ravens like week 16.
That's
so that
crazy.
Did win somebody a championship. That was and James Allen was a small, tiny little scat back that, you know, Bears had nothing left at that point. And that was a wild one. Random player to win somebody a championship, that's for sure. All right, so what other guys? So we talked about some that are going too high, too low. Where are you at it with AJ Green?
Oh, man. AJ Green is one of the biggest enigmas on the board this year.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, wow. Normally AJ Green, I'm like, yo, that foot is no, he's so talented. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that foot is no good, son. Stay beat up. Andy Dalton's the quarterback. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. And now he's in the third round. And I'm like, what? You can get him as a wide receiver 3. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy and give you 16 games, you're gonna win your championship with him in that spot. Yeah, I'm backing on. I hate to say it, I'm backing on AJ Green. I mean, just all it takes, Jeff, is a season of him playing 16 games, and you're going to get the AJ Green that you've been used to the past couple years. He's only 30 years old. This guy is still like in the prime of his career. He's still a top target, and he's got somebody on the other side and Boyd who can draw some attention away also, because Boyd's a very good player. It's just that we haven't seen him, you know, have these big years. You know, since 2016, or was he hurt in 2016? Yeah. Since 2015, really, because he got hurt and he was hurt 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah. He 17, he was all right, I think.
He played 16 games in 17. Yeah, he did. He got over 1,000 yards receiving.
So what? How old is he compared to Julio? Didn't they come out in the same year, if I'm not mistaken? So, like, Julio Jones going for, like, a record deal. And AJ Green is like, you know, people drafting him, you know,
in the third round.
Exact same age. They're both 30 years old. It's like, mm-hmm. They're like, you know, 6 months apart in age. And you talk about the career trajectory. And I think these guys are both.
It's the Bengals and the Falcons. The Bengals play one playoff game in 3 years in that cold ass stadium. And the Falcons was in the damn Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? One got Andy Dalton, the other got Matt Ryan. One has had Marvin Lewis. And, you know, Atlanta hasn't been great with coaching, but they've been a better run organization since these two gentlemen have been with these teams.
Yeah, it's very true. But I'll take a shot on AJ Green. That's for sure. What about – here's another receiver too. See what you think about this. Where are you at in Tyler Lockett?
Oh, man, I'm not the biggest Tyler Lockett guy. He's let me down a lot. And then last year, I didn't have him nowhere. And he came through and he had that very good season. And that's the name I've been looking at this year. Listen, they really don't have anybody else.
Nobody.
But it's like they don't need nobody else but Russell Wilson.
Somebody has to catch the ball.
And it has to be Lockett. Oh, it's not going to be Metcalf. Oh, it's not. I'm not buying that Metcalf shit, not one bit.
Yeah.
And who's on the other side? What, Paul? Is it Paul Richardson on the other side?
No, he's in Washington. He's in
DC now. Mike, no, who is it? Oh, Jermaine.
No, the curse is gone. It's just Metcalf, and then they have a guy that I like, Jazz Ferguson, who is an undrafted free agent. They have Jerron Brown and David Moore.
David Moore got some catches last year. That's who I was on.
Yeah, late in the season, he got some catches. So, I mean, they don't have anything else. That's the thing with Lockett, and we're talking
and about – And you're right. That's it, the volume.
I get that we either have to downgrade Russell Wilson, which, by the way, I have been the wrongest ever on – Russell Wilson his entire career. So I gave that up a couple years ago. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to be wrong. And he's always going to produce. And he's good. I haven't liked any receiver. I never liked Doug Baldwin until he popped, you know. But I just smell Lockett coming now. Like 10 touchdowns last year. Baldwin's gone. There's so many. Metcalf can't catch with his hands. He's a body catcher. Jerron Brown's never been anything. David Moore's okay, but really not in every – not somebody you're going to see – you know, in crunch time, Russell Wilson floating passes to. I think Lockett's going to have a better year than where he's being drafted because he.
I can see that. You're talking me into it right now. Like I said, he's the only one there. I think Russell Wilson's the best player in the NFL, pound for pound.
Well, pound for pound, yes. Oh, yes, he is. He is because
he does everything.
He does. The thing that drives me. So I'm a football nerd, right? And the thing that Russell Wilson does that bothers me is he doesn't do anything the way he's supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. Everything's sloppy, gross, mechanics are bad, everything, but it works. And it's why it's been so long. So why I was out on him for so long, his first 3-4 years in the league, I just wasn't in because can't be running out of the pocket through the backside. You're supposed to step up through the pocket. Like everything he does, turn his back to the defense. You can never, like you just, I was taught this stuff. I'm like, you can't be doing this, man. He does it and he's an enigma with it, but man, he is constantly getting it done. And I can't argue.
He can win the MVP. I would not be surprised if the Seahawks are in this NFC Championship game. I mean, that's how good he is. And it's mainly, don't get me wrong, the defense is stout. Pete Carroll's a great head coach. But Russell Wilson is the one that makes that whole thing go. Sure. They get rid of Sherman. They get rid of any player on defense. Doug Baldwin get beat up. Everybody, Marshawn Lynch gone. As long as they got Russell Wilson, they're going to be in contention.
That's the thing. They had Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Gus Bradley, yep, who was the head coach in Jacksonville. Now he's the defense coordinator in L.A. with the Chargers. These guys are gone. Daryl Bevel's now gone, the offensive coordinator. You know, you mentioned Sherman and Earl Thomas, and all these guys are gone. Their offensive line back in the day, Marshawn Lynch was the guy back. And the one thing that keeps them – they were supposed to fail last year. And that's one of the future bets
I love. That was a rebuilding, and I gave Scott Engel hell because Scott said they're not rebuilding, they're retooling. And I was like, Scott, you crazy as hell. And like halfway through the year, I was like, oh, man, Scott was right. And now we got to hear about it.
Well, let's not go nuts. we can't give him too much credit.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about Rashawn Penny?
I like him more than Chris Carson.
Me too.
Because they – listen, I – you know, we talked earlier, Corey. One thing I've learned – growing up and everything is I always follow the money. Where's the money? Where's the investment? The one thing these guys value more than wins and losses is pride. And that organization took Penny in the first round. And everybody, I was at that draft, covering the draft for SiriusXM. I was like, oh boy, that's it. I mean, it was everybody in the room was like, what the, you know, are they high? Like, what's going on right there? That was a real bad selection at the time. And last year it did nothing but look terrible, even worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can just give Carson the job again. Because, I mean, it just screams of Alex Collins all over again. I know Alex Collins had his breakout in Baltimore. But when you don't have anything invested in the bat, especially at running back these days, you're a dime a dozen. You did good. Thanks for your service. Move on out. So I wouldn't doubt if Penny ends up being the RB1 there. I think that competition, despite what a lot of people think, I think it may be wide open here in 2019.
Yeah, and I like Penny to get that gig and run with it. The problem is going to be the health. I don't think we'll ever see CJ ProSize again. He can't play two-hand touch. It's just, you know, you push him on the ground, he separated his shoulder. I want to see what Penny got. We saw some flashes at time last year. I will definitely take a dollar. Oh, look at this. Must be football season. Dollar make it hollow on Rashad Penny.
Yeah, there it is. Dollar make it hollow on Rashad Penny. You're damn right. I like that one, too. Last one we'll do real quick. I'll do a tight end spot. Where are you at on Evan Engram? You mentioned you're not in on Kelce early. You don't like the makeup of your roster. I'm sure you got sort of a package of tight ends that you're targeting.
That's the one right there. You named them.
Evan Engram.
Yeah. The only thing is when Daniel Jones get that job. You know what I'm saying? And everybody will say, oh, the young quarterback, the rookie quarterback is going to throw to the tight end. That's urban legend. Like, yes. Nobody's ever done a study on that. That's the biggest bullshit in fantasy football. Yeah. A young quarterback's throw to the tight end. One of these analytic guys like Mike Leone, one of these guys who's to do a study, Dinkmeyer or something, and break it down, they probably be like, this is bullshit. But one thing about Evan Engram, if you look back over the course of the past 2 years, when Odell Beckham does not play, he gets more targets.
Monster targets. There's a lot. There's tons of vacated targets here in this offense.
Yep.
And also, here's what I'm – this is the thing that those stat nerds don't get. And it's why, you know, I keep talking about coaching, because that's what's important. It's you have a design of plays. You could be the fastest human being at running to the right. But if that playbook says you run left, you run left. There is no right for you. There's left. And it's the same thing. If the playbook says you're throwing to the wideout, you're throwing to the wideout. You don't get a choice. As a quarterback, you don't just throw to who's open. That's you have to progress. And then how many quarterbacks have the brain power and timing to sit back in the pocket and actually make those progressions? It's tomfoolery. They know where they're going to go with the ball as soon as they see it. So Mike Shula loves tight ends. Look what he did with Cam Newton and Greg Olsen in Carolina. It's the same exact principles in the foundation. Pat Shurmur's done it in Philadelphia. He's done it in Minnesota and in Giants. I agree. And Ingram's numbers without Beckham have been sensational. So
as Evan Engram is the guy that I'll be having a lot of shares of Evan Engram this year. I'm in on Evan Engram. I'll take a late flyer. Dallas Goedert, I'm going to be interested in him too. Zach Ertz not going to play 16 games again this year. And I think that even if it's by a miracle he does, I think Goddard gets in there and gets some catches and maybe sprinkle in some Hunter Henry, but that's kind of my range right there.
Yeah, I think every single one of those guys that you named are players that I'm in. Hunter Henry, he's getting a lot of love. I think that the only issue I have with Henry coming off the injury and all that, I feel like he's being overdrafted. People are drafting him earlier and earlier because they missed out last year. I was hyped on him last year, don't get me wrong. But he missed a year, so now we're trying to, like, be the first in line. It's like a sale of JCPenney or something.
Yeah, it's the Hunter Henry love is a little bit out of whack right now.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I'm like, okay, let's settle down with Hunter Henry. I want to see Hunter Henry do it first.
Yeah, and make sure he's healthy. And like I said,
is Antonio Gates retired yet?
Yes. Well, okay. As soon as Hunter Henry goes down, they'll wheelbarrow Antonio Gates right back into the sideline.
He's got to be four bills now, Jeff.
He's got to be. He's looking like clumps right now. Antonio Gates. All right, that is Corey Parson. I am Jeff Bads. We will leave you with that, some ADP roundup here. We'll be back every week here at the Elite Fantasy Football or Fantasy Football Elite Show. I should get the name of the show right. Remember, check us out, folks. Corey Parson, you can follow on Twitter at the Fantasy Exec, EXEC, right there for you. Corey Parson. No S. How many times did they call you Parsons, by the way?
I've been getting it my whole life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, my name is the simplest in the world. People still mess it up. Mons.
Yeah, everything Mons. I just Mans.
Oh, I don't understand you guys are getting this from. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Mans, M-A-N-S, fantasyguru.com, where you can find both of us. The draft guide is out. Rankings, IDP, half point, full point, no point, PPR. You got coaching breakdowns, offensive line breakdowns. Schuster just posted his O-line breakdown there for you. You got ADP reports. You've got just everything you need over there, and we'll be with you all season long. If you'd like the discounts, go to elitefantasy.com/radio, and boom, you get the 25% discount on any of our stuff, elitefantasy.com and elitesportsbetting.com. Any final words, Corey Parson, before we leave the kiddies for another week?
Just everybody, it's getting closer and closer to time, so make sure you sign up, get that subscription ready, because I guarantee you, if you get down with Fantasy Guru, you'll be winning your chip in 2019. I want the chips with the dip.
That's right, man.
Like how Drake said.
Me and I love that. Me and Corey are all about them chips, man. That's all that matters.
you can have the accuracy. You can be the accuracy expert.
You can have the accuracy all you want. I can't go to the Burger King and order a double Whopper with cheese and say, "Hey, I was the most accurate."
Jeff, I can't take that to Morgan State University for my son's tuition. They're like, you better get your ass out of here and go win something.
ASU, I can't buy books and supplies at ASU for my daughter with my accuracy. But I can't with the chips, that's for sure. For Corey Parson, this is Jeff Vance. We'll see you next time. Fantasy Football League. Deuces, everybody.